KFSR presents the Fresno State Student Spotlight with Fresno State's Vice President for Student Affairs and Enrollment Management, Dr. Frank Lamas, and Fresno State Student Special Guests, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Dr. Frank Lamas. Thanks for joining us this morning. I'm excited to have three guests with me today. My colleague Renee Cromer from SupportNet, she's an advisor with us, and our DOSM certified Gallup Strengths coach. Renee has brought two very special guests with her today. We have two Fresno State students, Ramela Guidry and DJ Ditto. Welcome to the show. Thank you for being here.
Good morning.
Appreciate it. Morning. Good morning. And students who are awake before noon, that's a great thing. I love that. Not always awake before noon on the weekend, so that's a good thing. Well, today we're going to talk about the implementation of StrengthsFinder on our campus and how Fresno State supports our students with reflection and strengths-based initiatives. And we've gone all big into this in the Division of Student Affairs this year, thanks to Renee and our colleagues that are working with us. But before we get into this, Renee, tell us a little bit about you. What do you do at Fresno State? Maybe a little bit about your background, and then we'll ask the students to do the same.
All right. Thank you. Good morning. My name is Renee Cromer, and I play two roles here at Fresno State. I'm a SupportNet advisor in the Learning Center here on campus, and I'm also the Gallup Strengths Certified Strengths Coach for the Division of Student Affairs and Enrollment Management. So I play two roles, but all involve campus and students. And SupportNet, in a nutshell, is basically an early warning program that faculty and staff alike use to refer students who might be in academic difficulty. And so we cover everything from time management to assessing learning styles and kind of like college 101, how to do college and how to persist in your studies and stay on top of your things academically.
So you're helping them to be successful at the university.
Right.
As I always say, access and opportunity are great, but the bottom line is we want success. And so you're helping every student that comes there. In fact, just to blow a little bit of your thunder here, 65% of our students who use our SI and some of our related services graduate in 6 years, which is way above the normal average of our students. So your program is having an effect here at Fresno State.
I agree.
So how about the students? So ladies first here, Ramela Guidry, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? What year in school, how you got involved in this, hometown, major, all that kind of stuff.
I'm a sophomore here at Fresno State. I'm from Fresno.
What's your major?
A double major in criminology and psychology, so that's fun.
That seems like, okay, criminology and psychology. So you're going to, like, analyze the criminals or, you know?
Yeah, that's what I want to do.
All right, okay.
That is
my dream. CSI or something
FBI.
Like that?
Okay,
FBI, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds cool.
So how I got in SupportNet is she found me in the basement.
Renee finds everyone. I mean, you could be walking in the quad and she's going to grab you and bring you in to do StrengthsFinder.
It was a more creepy, dark kind of find. Honestly, I was really struggling and I really did need help. And somehow, like, she called me on my phone in the basement while I was in the basement. And she.
Why am I not surprised of any of this?
I guess her office was about to close, and it's like, I think it was like 6 or 7, and she's just like, I'm gonna find you. And she just hangs up. She gets super excited. And I'm just like, wait, how are you gonna find me in the basement full of people? So I just immediately, I remember that there was like a certain section where a lot of students and people were, so
right.
I end up walking straight
down
into
in our
her
learning
office.
Center, I assume you were down there in the lower level of the library.
Yeah. And so I end up finding her, and she recognized my voice.
There you go.
And like, she's been stuck on me ever since.
Well, that's good. She's a great person. She helps our students. How about you, DJ? How did your story get here in terms of Fresno State, your major, and a little bit about yourself?
Well, Fresno is home. I've grown up here and I've lived here all my life. And so I always used to drive by Fresno State when I was younger, and I always thought it was like this huge property that somebody owned and things like that. And then as I got older, I realized that it was such a beautiful campus, and I came to know that it was Fresno State. And I was like, well, it's a university and I definitely want to go to college. And since it's right at home, I'll go to Fresno State.
And so you grew up right in Fresno or surrounding area?
Right in Fresno. I'm a fourth year at Fresno State, and my major is social work. and I'm now minoring in communicative sciences and deaf studies now. They just changed it.
Great.
I also am a Renaissance scholar, and that program seeks to support current and former foster youth as well as unaccompanied homeless students. And so I'm not only a Renaissance scholar, but I also work for the program as the program student assistant.
Great. Wonderful program.
Yes, I do love the staff and all the students and stuff like that. Just being able to make the difference in the world of those students is just pure joy, because it's like a family away from family when they don't necessarily have one.
Sure. Well, you found your sense of belonging in a few places here at Fresno State. That's great. Now, I have to ask you, the listeners cannot see this, obviously, but he's got a Kansas City jacket on here in the Valley. And, you know, I figured it would be something either, you know, L.A., Oakland, some other kind of team, but what's with the Kansas City here?
So my brother, he's a Kansas City Chiefs fan, although he grew up in San Diego, so you would think he would have been a San Diego Chargers fan, which is now L.A. Chargers, but because Joe Montana played for the Chiefs way back when, he likes the Chiefs, and I know that Joe Montana went to the Niners, but I wouldn't say that it's necessarily the team that you would think everybody would pick, just because somehow we always seem to lose in the playoffs, but...
Maybe this year.
Well, hopefully. Yeah.
But, you know, since I've been in the Valley, I've not seen a Kansas City, so first time for everything. Well, let's talk a little bit about StrengthsFinder. So, Renee, I know you've done a lot with this. You're a coach. You're certified in all this. Tell the listeners, what exactly is this StrengthsFinder? Why is it something that's important and something we should be doing here at Fresno State in our division and with our students?
StrengthsFinder is initially an assessment, the Clifton StrengthsFinder assessment. It's a web-based assessment that is steeped in positive psychology. It's a personality assessment. It's the first of its kind to be developed to take on the internet in the way that it is. It's 177 questions that are polar opposite.
It's a lot of questions.
It is a lot of questions. Polar opposite scenarios that you get to speak to that best describe who you are and how what you do every day. And so the results of that assessment is what we call your strengths, or your top five strengths. And they're literally just words that describe what you probably have been doing your whole life effortlessly, but now you have a language to describe how you do so. Right. And so on campus, we're using it both with our staff in the Department of Student Affairs.
The whole division of Student
Affairs. The whole division
Everyone
of Student
Affairs.
Everyone
is getting that opportunity, yes.
As staff. And so different than how we're using it with students, but it's the same premise. And that's just to empower people to talk about what they do well, and to basically get away from weakness fixing. In a lot of the workshops I do, I have them do an exercise where you literally write with a hand that's not your dominant hand, and then you talk about what that's like. And a lot of people get that that's what weakness fixing feels like. It's awkward, and it feels, you know, your hand gets tired, and it just feels like something that's not natural, versus doing what you do dominantly or naturally, right? Which is what your strengths are. So whether that's your first strength is considered your leading strength, but all five of your strengths are your dominant strengths. You can get into your top 10 or even your 34, because there are a total of 34, but your top five are your most dominant. They're like the tools that are in your bag to help you do life day to day, right?
Sure. So in a way, you've said already to the individual, you know your strengths. But what do you see as a positive benefit for a larger group? So it could be a department in the Division of Student Affairs, the whole division, could be a student club or organization. What do you see as the big takeaway why this is going to make us better in the long run?
I think it's going to change the culture on campus. I know with students, we specifically targeted at-risk populations. So working with African-American students in OBSS, or students who are already in academic difficulty. And so we have used strengths to give them some tools. So they get an action plan as a result of taking the assessment that speaks to study techniques, class choices, extracurricular, all the things that are part of their student experience. And so we tailor how they approach those areas by their strengths. So they literally are coached in how to apply those there and see, I think, significant changes because, one, they're going into it like 300% more confident. Even though maybe they're in academic difficulty, they now have some tools to maybe restore their academic status, or, you know, like if, for example, if they're a wooer, now they feel all of a sudden really confident to go talk to their professors in office hours. And so there's a real application piece to it that comes on the back end after the assessment that we're using with students, and have seen you know, it's not a miracle worker yet, but we're starting to see things trickle in as far as them being able to turn around their grades, but also come from an asset-based approach. I feel like sometimes with marginalized students, we're coming from this deficit, you mm-hmm. know, whether you're first generation or just dealing with sense of belonging. Mm-hmm. A lot of the students that we work with come from a lot of different areas of California. And so when you tell them, this is what you do well, they just kind of are all of a sudden 6 inches taller and they move differently. And so it's been interesting to see that.
So you start really with building them up with what their strengths and what they do best.
Right.
Now, do you find that people are really surprised sometimes when they see their 5 areas that come out of the questions that they take?
Usually they're really surprised how accurate it is. And it really causes them to reflect. Like mm-hmm. I've had people say, I've never had a word for it, but that makes so much sense. I hear mm-hmm. that a lot. And for students as well, there's trends with different groups. There mm-hmm. seems to be more one strength in certain groups than others, mm-hmm. like restorative, like someone from an inner city or just first gen, natural problem solver. You have to show up with problem solving and a solution as well, which sometimes is referred to as grit or resilience, right? And mm-hmm. so they're usually not surprised. They're just sometimes maybe taken back by when someone asks them what their strengths are, they can tell them 5.
Right. So it kind of validates for them
very much
what they may be thinking, or maybe they haven't put it all together. And what about, I mean, I know myself when I've done it, and I've done it, I think, 3 times now, mm-hmm. and each time it comes out the same. And I keep saying to myself, God, I thought this other one would really come up, and it doesn't. And so talk a little bit about, I know you have the 5 that come up, but then, I mean, it's almost 180 questions. So how do the others, you know, in those that don't come up, kind of impact this whole situation?
Well, there's dominant strengths and then there's supporting strengths. And, you know, even as a coach, I have to take all 34. And it's overwhelming because at the end of the day, you're dominant, right? Mm-hmm. And so they have us as coaches actually go through your 34 and put a line under the strength that you feel like is no longer your dominant. And my line goes right under my 5th. 5 is enough of a charge, and usually you're most dominant. Anything after that is supporting, right? Mm-hmm. And strengths is based on need. So it's what's the need mm-hmm. and what strengths are being pulled out to respond to the need is pretty mm-hmm. much how it goes. Just because you don't have the positivity strength doesn't mean you're not a positive person.
Right.
But the ownership or the sense of responsibility that you feel for the morale in the room mm-hmm. is just different, right?
I always want relational to come up and positivity, because I feel like that's something that I really see as something I do, but never's come up. So I'm letting it go now. Just letting it go.
I'm very proud of you. That's good. Because there's something called strengths envy, right?
Strengths envy. Yeah. All right. Here
and
we go.
There are some.
All right. So now I need to know, what are your 5? You know, and I'm going to ask students the same thing. What are your 5? And I'll self-disclose mine also.
Okay. Fair enough. Mine are learner, developer, achiever, focus, and positivity.
Okay. Got it. All right, DJ, how about yours? What are your 5?
My number 1 is woo, and then
woo.
Communication.
All right.
Yeah, woo. Communication.
For those who don't know what woo is, it's kind of like, you know, the super excitable, big positive person in the room that, tell us more, DJ. I mean, it's your strength, so tell us.
Well,
I never got woo.
You want woo, though.
I want woo.
That's what I hear, yeah.
I do have some woo envy, you know, I do. I will say that's another one, sure.
Well, when I think of woo, and I guess as Renee said, I never have had a word to put to the personality that I have. And when mm-hmm. I think of my personality, I think of just woo. And so being able to just talk to somebody and connect with them mm-hmm. almost instantly, and then we just have like a positive conversation. And then I don't ever feel like I'm nervous about talking to somebody. I don't ever feel mm-hmm. like I need to hide away from a challenge or confrontation or things like that. And I think that's my woo strength coming out in so many ways. And so, as you were saying, the woo strength is the mm-hmm. one where you're the superhero in a way. Like you get to, maybe not superhero, but like the super strength, because it works in so many different facets. And so it's okay. So awesome.
All right.
But the top 5 are woo, communication, discipline, consistency, and competition. And I think that when I saw like discipline or consistency and mm-hmm. competition, I was like, those aren't me. And then as I looked at what they meant according to the Gallup Strengths Finder, mm-hmm. I was like, those are totally me. And I started to love them. And so when I talk about them, I'm always like, ooh, I love my discipline strength, or ooh, I love my consistency strength. Mm-hmm. And I think woo is just always a love that I have, just because it's
every day.
We couldn't
tell that you were woo at all, actually. But
I have no nervousness, nothing like that. I can always talk to anybody about anything.
Well, that's good. That's good. How about you, Romella? What are your 5?
I love my 5.
You love your five? That's good.
I do. I actually was upset I didn't get to know the others. You know, we had to talk about this, Miss Renee. But my five are belief, relator, restorative, achiever, and input. Always forget about input. I like my five because basically I've used them my whole life. And like she said, I got to actually put a word to what my actions are. Mm-hmm. And I thought that let me identify myself more because I know what I'm good at. Now I can really just be like, today I'm going to use my relative strength. Or an hour ago, I used my input strength because this is what I do. And they all merge together, which is good. It's like a big little cake. Mm-hmm. And so for input, I love getting information. There's nothing that I wouldn't want to learn, nothing that I wouldn't want to store. And so once I get my information, another tool that I have is restorative. I'm a problem fixer. I don't really like saying no or giving up. I never stop what I don't finish. And so both of those two things work hand in hand because I have to find information to finish and solve the problem. And so that also goes with my achiever because I set goals and I really do like achieving the goals. If I don't, it really bothers me because I know I have to work harder. Mm-hmm. And so I would say my biggest one, though, is my belief, which was my number one. I'm very strong-minded. I don't really let people waver what I think or mm-hmm. what I believe in. And I'm also a relator, which is good because I definitely thought I was an includer because I don't like when people are alone or just distant and quiet. That bothers me. But I'm a relator, so I never really have a problem talking to anybody or relating and getting to know people. And I think that's important because I like to involve myself with other people, not like just to bother them, but it's just naturally. Like I make friends when it's important. Mm-hmm. And people tend to understand me and come to me for advice. It's really bad. But I like my top five.
That's great. Well, it sounds pretty evident that all three of you really feel good about StrengthsFinder, what you found with this, the areas that you're strong in, and using those to build on the things that you do in your jobs, as students, in right. your future careers, and other things. So that's amazing. So do I need to tell you mine or?
Yes, you do.
So I have strategic, arranger, maximizer, self-assurance, and achiever. And when I look at them, I think to myself, because I've done this each time when I've been either a vice president or an associate vice president. And I always think this in terms of my job more than my personal life. And so whenever I look at my StrengthsFinder stuff, I really relate it more to my role and what I do and less to my overall life, which is something I still, I guess, to some degree, need to work through. But it makes a lot of sense to me what these have come out, because in my role, it's part of having with my colleagues a vision for where we want to take the division and the university with my colleagues to the future. You know, if you look at some of these things, how we're strategic, how we maximize and arrange the programs and services and things to help students to be more successful, and making sure we achieve these things so that the promises we make about different things. And I've actually been using Maslow's hierarchy a lot in terms of plotting out our division and what we do. At the lower levels of Maslow's hierarchy, you talk about a lot of the needs that people have. And we have a lot of programs like our Student Cupboard, our Good Samaritan Fund, Project Hope, our homelessness program, and the list goes on. And then as we go up to belongingness and, you know, the connections and all that, to where you get to the top of the Maslow's hierarchy, which is each and every student fulfilling their potential and being self-actualized. And so I think a lot of what we do is really, you know, be strategic and arrange and maximize and achieve these things for our students so that they can be successful, and student success being our number one priority overall. We kind of start with student success and end with student success at the end of the day. And you notice I didn't mention self-assurance. Mm-hmm. I talked about the others. And the self-assurance, I think, comes in, for me anyway, more in a situation where I feel confident that if we do these things for our students, for our university, for our division, that at the end of the day, more of our students will be successful. And so my self-assurance really plays off of the greater good and the need of our students. I've been fortunate to be first generation, not someone who came to school with a silver spoon, had to pay my way through, you know, a lot of the same stories that our students have here. And my self-assurance and confidence is that if I could do it, we have very bright, capable students all over the place that can do it. I'm not anything special, but I did it. And I think part of it is I persevered through those situations. And I hope that we as a division and university can do more to help our students, maybe make it a little easier than it might have been when we were in school. And so I do play off of a lot of my strengths also with this, though, in terms of where we go. So for those who are listening out there, I know it's a long test, almost, what, 180 questions or so?
177.
Well, okay.
But it only takes 40 minutes.
Yeah.
42 minutes.
For some, it may take a few more minutes than others, but, you know, it's within that. So it's not too long. It's certainly worth the time to do the test. And obviously, you have to pay for it and get the book or workbook and work through all of that. Do you find, I was talking before, when I've done it, it's come out the same way. You know, I've done it, I think, two, maybe three. And do your scores typically stay the same, Renee, you know, over time? Or do things change? Like, you know, these are young students. Do you think their scores and what their five areas will change as they grow and develop into, you know, older adults? Have you found it in your career? Like in mine, I think the times I've taken it all have been within the last 15 or so years, and they haven't changed. So tell me a little bit about that.
You know, it's the same for me. I've taken it probably three times in the span of 10 years, and they've always stayed the same. There are scenarios where they do change, but it's not likely. Sometimes one or two may change, or they kind of move around, but they stay in your top five. And again, they could move down to be a part of your top 10, but again, a supporting strength, depending on usually life happenings, right? So I have a colleague who was the one woo in Student Success Services. And when he became a parent, like 7 years later, swapped that out for command. So it's not usually that your entire five change.
That's interesting.
I know, right? He was less concerned about winning people over and having people do what he needed to do because he had twins. But it can change for some people, but that's not the norm. And when you call Gallup and ask them, and I ask them every time I speak to them, because you get that question a lot, and they say the first time that you take it and those results are the purest. And so people ask all the time, well, I want to take it again. And we just discourage it because at that point you're kind of fishing, but your first initial tackle of the assessment is the most unbiased because you don't know and you're really able to give some really raw answers. Because then after that, you're just kind of shopping for strengths.
Okay. You know, we all talked about our strengths just a few minutes ago, and obviously we're all pretty excited about which ones we all have and everything. Do you find sometimes, you know, when we were kidding about woo or, you know, the relational stuff, do you find that sometimes people, I think you call it fishing, but, you know, are there some of these strengths that are more common than others? Do you find that some people will try to play them off as more valuable than others? Tell me a little bit about that.
So the strengths are comprised into four domains now, and that was done specifically for organizations where leadership is important so that you can identify the influencing, the executing, the strategic thinking strengths and the relationship building. And everybody always goes to the domain with the relationship building. And, you know, why is that not our dominant area? But the reality is that...
Why do they do that? I mean, why do you think they go to that? Is it something they wish they had? Or
I think it's kind of like the wish list, the relationship building area, because...
I mean, I know I went to that myself.
Because it's people. Bit. But across, even in our division, I find that the relationship building, we're stronger executing and influencing, right? But given the nature of needing to assess student success, right? But it doesn't mean that you need to have more in relationship building, just as long as you have some and can identify where your strengths are. That's where the strongest teams excel. It's just knowing the distribution, right?
Okay, so you're saying in these four different areas, are there some that are more common than others?
It seems like there are, for example, harmony seemed to be really popular with Dog Days orientation leaders. But if you think about harmony and the need for consensus, and they're dealing with parents at Dog Days, right?
And the role that they're doing.
And the role that they have. Or there's a lot of analytical and strategic and like the more admissions and records, you know, kind of the checks and balances side, who may not have as much student contact. In the health center, you know, empathy was important, as well as relator. You know, relator is about one-on-one, not so much being relational, but they're the opposite of woo. Where woo, they just give me 15 people and I'll woo them all. Where relator kind of prefers the one-on-one, more in-depth. They hate icebreaker kind of things where woo lives for it.
Right.
And then, you know, we'll see, like with student involvement or maybe some of the other ones who are really charged with motivating student leaders, I would imagine there'd be more communication and maybe some more woo. But, you know, back to self-assurance, it's one of the three most uncommon strengths in the U.S. And so the fact that you have that is...
Is that good or bad?
That's a great thing because there's two people in your cabinet that have it. And you guys both do it very differently, but it is. It's an inner confidence that this is just kind of what needs to be done. And people just trust that, you know?
Next time I see President Castro, I'm going to tell him that.
Self-assurance. It's like your sixth sense, your confidence, right, you know, in the decisions that you have to make. So, because if you had like deliberative, you'd be in agony because they really need to be able to
assess. Overanalyzing.
Assess
it
all of, you know, the risks involved before they're even asked to make a decision. I have to always apologize to them in any workshop because to ask them to do anything on the spot, it's not fair because that's not when they're at their best.
Yeah, so. I've had actually some folks that have reported to me in the past. And I remember one time asking them a question and I needed an answer at that point in time, not like a week from now or something. And they turned to me and they said, well, no, it's a good question, Dr. Lamas. I'm going to have to marinate on that for a while. And I was thinking, I need an answer right now. I wish you wouldn't marinate. I'm thinking to myself, but I was being a nice guy. I said, all right, well, let's talk after a little bit. And we kind of worked that out. So different styles and different ways of approaching things. Do you find some people will try to play off that what they have is more valuable than others? Or is it more like you were saying, the role that makes some sense that you have these strengths with the role you've chosen to play, let's say in our division, for different things?
I think it allows people to have a seat at the table. So it's not as competitive. If anything, when one person with input meets another person with input, they're more or less curious about how do you experience that day to day versus mine's better than yours, or even somebody who has woo might say to someone else, you know, it's a huge responsibility to have woo all the time and be able to talk about what that means to them. So it allows everyone to kind of affirm one another in a way versus put another strength down or hold one in higher regard. But they're more curious about the working version of it, or by definition, in real person. And they say to find a poster child for each strength. That's how you really get to learn them. And so in circles, those conversations kind of just naturally evolve into, what is that like? Tell me how you experience that.
Thank you. TJ, how do these five strengths play out in your daily life? What are some of the things you found?
So I think that all five of my strengths just come out in almost every single situation that I have, probably all of them, but definitely my woo. Again, the way I can just come up and talk to anybody about anything, but that also like relates to my communication strength and being able to communicate myself the way I need to. So nobody ever feels like they didn't get everything that they needed from
me. And that's one of your majors also here. So that's great. How about you, Ramella?
I would also say that I use all five of my strengths every day, or at least I try to. I really do actually try to use all five, but the most I use every day is three. I use the relator, restorative, and belief every day. And so I think those are the best when I hit campus or go anywhere at my house.
Fantastic. Well, I really appreciate the three of you being here with me today. This was very insightful and informative. And as you know, I love Strengths Finders, so I'm a big fan of all of this and really looking forward to our whole division doing this and what it's going to tell us about who we are in relation to what we do. So thanks again to my Fresno State guests, Renee, Ramella, and DJ, for being with us today. Thanks for joining us this morning, and please join us next Sunday morning at 10:30 for another Fresno State Student Spotlight on KFSR. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Fresno State Student Spotlight. We're on the air at 90.7 and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org, kfsr.org. Good morning, everyone.
KFSR presents the Fresno State Student Spotlight every Sunday morning at 10:30. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.